Welcome to Wednesday Bible Study. Our opening hymn is 206, Christ Arose. 206, Christ Arose. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. From the grave he arose, mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. 339. When I fear my faith will fail. 339. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ can hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he can hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold. He must hold me fast. For my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. I am precious in his sight. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Not let my soul be lost, Christ will hold me fast. But my aim at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
Amen. Our final hymn is 331. 331, the haven of rest. 331.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distressed, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep, oh, the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep, oh, the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, the song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been the old story so blessed. Of Jesus will save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. Tempest may sweep, oh, the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save his power divine. I'm mending your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the white seas no more. The tempest may sweep, oh, the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm saved evermore.
Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 1 to 13 is the text for our meditation. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 1 to 13 is the text for our consideration. Let us read responsively. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee hither. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee hither, that he may live, whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hateth not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the health, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die. He shall flee unto one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three more for thee beside this three, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth for an inheritance, so blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally, that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his precious word. The haven of rest is the title of our exhortation, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verses 1 to 9. It's not the first time we have spoken concerning the cities of refuge. It was recorded in Numbers chapter 35, verse 1 to 34, and Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 41 to 49. However, as O.T. Spence well put it here, he says, in the earlier presentation, we noted only the fact and purpose of the cities, including the privilege of the 2.5 tribes which stay on the east side of Jordan. But now an earnest admonition is given to keep these laws of the land, and the announcement goes to secure the three cities in the midst of thy land, to bring the numbers to 6 in all. So in page 6 of your handout is given the 6 cities that are demarcated as cities of refuge. there is in the mind of God provision to protect the innocent in the land. And these were places of asylum for innocent persons who had, without premeditation, killed someone. Here you see that these places would be of easy access, with roads marked and clearly laid, so that all could locate the cities in their moment of need. The roads were to be kept in good condition. The brooks and rivers were to be covered with good bridges. The width of the roads were to be 48 feet across, and all crossroads signs were to be erected with the words Makileth, Makileth, refuge, refuge, painted on them. They were to divide the coast of the land into three parts, which involved the entire extent of the country from the south to the north, and the three cities on each side of Jordan were opposite each other. Some thought these six cities represented the two rows of vines separated by the Jordan River. And so other words were inserted from the earlier announcement of these cities that indicate the person who might accidentally kill someone who would have to be clear from any former hatred of that person, and the avenger, the near kinsman of the man accidentally slain, must pursue the person who has killed accidentally another person. There could be no slowness of action. Both the slayer and the kinsman of the slain slain one must pursue definite action. The purpose of this was to keep murder out of the land, and every precaution was to be taken to ensure the safety of the people. So the Lord made it such that the land would be a land of peace, that the innocent would be protected, and that the guilty, those who are culpable, those who have done wrong, they would have to be properly dealt with, so that there would be true, proper peace in the land. And so this man who killed without premeditation would be able to flee to these nearest cities and find refuge and receive a true judgment of the situation. And they are to divide the coast of the land into three parts. And the land that is, there should be, when there is a murder that goes on, the murderer would not be able to use these cities of refuge for asylum. The matter was clear that the elders of the city of the slain man would go to the city of refuge and take the murderer by force and bring him before the judges and the officers of the particular city. And so the names of the six cities of refuge were not mentioned at all in the first five books in the Pentateuch, but was recorded in Joshua, which we were going to talk about it soon. And these are the names that we would bring before you. On the west of Jordan, Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron, and on the east, Beza, Ramoth, and Gilead. So what was the purpose of preparing this place of refuge? That's the first thought. Matthew Henry observed, he says that it was one of the precepts given to the sons of Noah, that whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, by the avenger of blood. So here is given to us the law of capital punishment, right? That a life for a life. This was God's law that was instituted right from the beginning. And you would be able to see that in civil societies around us, countries that would implement laws, God's laws, as it were, there would be peace in the land, isn't it? But if the criminal is allowed to persist and exist without being dealt with properly, especially here we talk about murderers, then you see that in certain cities of the world, right, the jails are infested, right, with terrible, wicked men, and the cities itself, right, and you'll find that there is no peace in that land. And so the Lord speaks here, the law that is settled between blood and blood, between blood of the murdered and the blood of the murderer. And the effectual provision is being made that the cities of refuge should be a protection to him that slew another costly, right, so that they could not die, for that as a crime is not his voluntary act, but only his unhappiness. Well, here we are speaking about without killing, without premeditation. In other words, it was not in the heart of the man, right, to kill. So here, the appointment of these cities were laid down, right, so that when they would possess the land, right, God would ensure that criminals are properly dealt with and the innocent are protected. So both ways, right, both ways, you see the Lord ensuring that there is peace in the land. When the Lord thy God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, verse 1 of our text says, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the land of, in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee hither, whereof I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities. So the land is divided into three parts, and the three cities are right in the middle of the three parts, so that the innocent men would be able to run for refuge. Because you see, when such a thing happens, as what was described in verse 4, they go into the forest, two men, and they were trying to hewn a tree with an axe, and the head of the axe from one person flew and hit the other person, and the other person died. Was it his intention to kill? It was not his intention to kill. But they were there hewing wood, and there the head flew. So, in that kind of a situation, the man was, though there was someone killed, but it was not murder. It was not premeditated. So the person that killed, what we call manslaughter, is culpable in the sense that the man died, but it was not his intention to kill. And so, in that sense, the Lord made provision that this is an innocent man. And he would be able to run for a place whereby the Lord would, by order, protect him. Protect him. So here is given that the description of that provision. And Matthew Henry applied well. He says that thus, Christ is not a refuge at a distance which we must ascend to heaven or go down to the deep for, but the Word is nigh us and Christ in the Word. Romans 10 verse 8. But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and in thy heart, the Word of faith which we preach. Where do we find true refuge? We find true refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we would hear the Word of God, and so last Lord's Day we were mentioning in the weekly how important it is that we would take time to listen to the preaching of God's Word. How do we grow? Well, through the preaching of God's Word, that we listen and we take time to study God's Word. And it was mentioned, isn't it, that it's not enough that we would say that we read at home, we try to do that. Well, he observed that those who do so without taking time for the public hearing of the Word of God, inadvertently find that their strength waning while they are solitary at home. And so this the Lord provides as a means of grace, His Word, right, that is given. And so here is spoken to us concerning the refuge that God would give to His people to make the flight of the delinquent the more easy. The way must be prepared that led to the city of refuge. So the church is like a city of refuge, isn't it? It's a place that that people could run to. Probably they had causeways or streetways leading to those cities. And Jews said that magistrates of Israel upon one certain day in the year sent out messengers to see that those roads were in good repair. So they had to make sure, right, that the road signs are okay, no vandalism. They were to remove the stumbling blocks, mend the bridges that were broken where two ways met, and to set up a mercurial post with a finger to point the right way, on which was engraven in great letters, Miklat, or refuge. So for us, we have a website, and the Lord enabled us to make a website. There was somebody, when we began, somebody called us up, said that, I know how to make website. I've done this before, and I show you, this is where you can find what I have done. And I'm going to help you to make a website, because without it, you say that how do those who are seeking God find a place of refuge? Right? So the Lord made for us, enabled us to have this website ready. In allusion to this, gospel ministers are to show people the way to Christ, to assist and direct them in flying by faith to Him for refuge. They must be ready to remove their prejudices and help them over their difficulties. And blessed be God, the way of holiness, to all that seek it faithfully, is a highway so plain that wayfaring men, though fools, should not err therein. So the Lord is saying to us that indeed we would keep the door open, the way open, so that those who seek Him may draw nigh. Verse 4 to 13, protect the innocent. The use of these cities, verse 4, and this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee hither in that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut the tree, and the head slippeth from the heath, health, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer, wherefore, while his heart is hot, and overtake him. So, his heart is hot. That's something very, very, very true. That will always happen. Right? Because the way is long and slay, whereas he is not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hateth him not in the past. So, it was not something that he planned to do. It is supposed that it might so happen that a man might be the death of his neighbor without any design upon him, either from sudden passion or malice prepense. No malice, no sudden passion, but purely by as the flying of an axe head, which is the instance here given, which every case of this kind was to be compared. So the Lord gave very clear example as to who is guilty and who is innocent, and by it at judged. See how human life lies exposed daily, and what deaths we are often in, and what need therefore we have to be always ready, our souls being continually in our hands. How are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them? All right, these things happen. Today you are okay, but suddenly something happens. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 2, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. An evil time indeed it is, when this happened not only to the slain, but to the slayer. It is supposed that the relations of the person slain would be forward to avenge the blood in affection to their friend, in zeal for public justice. Though the law did not allow the avenging of any other affront or injury with death, yet the avenger of death, the blood of a relation, shall have great allowances made for the heat of his heart upon such a provocation as that, and his killing only should not be accounted murder if he did it before he got to the city of refuge, though it owned he was not worthy of death. Thus, would God possess people with a great horror and dread of the sin of murder, if mere chance medley did thus expose a man? Surely he that willfully does violence to the blood of any person, whether from the old grudge or upon a sudden provocation, must flee to the pit and let no man stay him. Yet the New Testament represents the sin of murder as more heinous and more dangerous than even this law does. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Well, as you think of what Matthew Henry has just said, you would understand why the Lord has to impose a law to set up these cities of refuge to enable the slayer to flee to a place whereby he would be able to find justice before the avenger of blood catch up upon him. So if the avenger of blood catch up upon him, Matthew Henry is saying, and he kills, then there is no time for the innocent, in the sense manslaughterer, to be properly assessed before the hot-headed avenger would have taken his life. So the land would be in quite a chaotic state, isn't it? If you have one case, two case happening, right, then you realize that, it is in this neighborhood, then it is in that neighborhood, and here and there, you will find that there would be no peace in the land. So the Lord doth thought very carefully as to the order of civil society, how the innocent can be protected. And as we think about it, as we meditate and think about the laws of God, you would be able to see how when the people of God, with the mindset of God, goes about influencing the world, you see that the world would be a very different place, isn't it? Without the sanctifying truth of God's law to teach us, to counsel us, to show us the proper way, you realize that, we will be doing those things we ought not to do by our own wisdom, by our own strength. So it behooves us to take time to think and consider. Consider what the Lord is saying to us. Paul, that had been a persecutor, obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly. And Christ prayed for his crucifiers, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The appointing of these three cities more for this use, in case God should hereafter enlarge their territories and the dominion of their religion, that all those places which came under the government of the law of Moses in other instances may enjoy the benefit of that law in this instance. So you see that when the law of God is being considered, then you will see that there will be true peace in the land. An intimation of God's gracious intention to enlarge their coast as he had promised to their fathers, if they did not, by their disobedience, forfeit the promise, the condition of which is here carefully repeated, that if it were not performed, the reproach might lie upon them and not upon God. So God gave his commandments. If we were not to obey it, then we are culpable. He promised to give it, "If thou shalt keep all these commandments, not otherwise," a direction.